What's up, everybody? This is the Between the Ropes podcast, and I am Brian Fritz. Hope you are having a good day. Plenty to get to here on the podcast. Taping this a little bit later than normal. I'm taping this on late Friday afternoon, early evening. And that's because I was normally going to tape the podcast on Thursday as usual. But with the WWE Crown Jewel event on Friday, I thought the podcast would be outdated very, very quickly. So I waited till now. Mike Sempervivi is going to be joining me here in a few minutes, and we will talk about Crown Jewel, which is in the books and quite the memorable show for a variety of reasons. So a lot of Crown Jewel talk. We'll talk about some other things when it comes to WWE and future booking, where they could be going, and all the controversy surrounding the show, plus some other wrestling talk coming up here on the podcast. Some reminders for everybody, and also some announcements coming up here. So please make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. We are changing platforms when it comes to our hosts. We've been on Blog Talk Radio, and now we're on Spreaker. So you can go to Spreaker. I believe it's spreaker.com/between the ropes. You can follow the podcast there. But if you are subscribed to the podcast, and you should be on iTunes or Stitcher or other platforms, there should be no problems, and you should still be getting this podcast as usual, even though we are switched over to Spreaker. If you have any problems, please let me know. And also, we are going to be on iHeartRadio and on Spotify here shortly. We should be. So that is in the works right now, so be on the lookout for that. But please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also, sign up and support Between the Ropes on Patreon. Patreon.com/Between the Ropes. For only $3 a month, you get the ad-free version of this podcast. You don't have to worry about any of the ads. It's only $3 a month. And that shows that you really like Between the Ropes. You like me. You're supporting the podcast. That would be extremely helpful. And thanks to everybody that's already doing that. So go check that out. Patreon.com/Between the Ropes. Only $3 a month to get the ad-free version of this podcast. A couple other things are coming up here. So I have started a subreddit page. You can go to Reddit, look for Between the Ropes. And we've got the page there just starting out right now. So take part in the conversation. Everybody play nice, but that started up because I want a place for everybody to talk about professional wrestling, or we could talk about other things besides pro wrestling if we want, but obviously the main thing is going to be about wrestling. We could talk about the podcast. We could put up questions there for when I answer questions, as always, here on the podcast. We could talk about things that you would like to see here with the Between the Ropes podcast as well. So it's just a great forum for all of us to take part in. So please go and check that out. And hopefully you'll take part in the conversation. That's what I'm looking for, is just to build a nice community where all of us can hang out. We can talk. We can share our thoughts with one another and talk about pro wrestling and talk about Between the Ropes. And another thing to look out for is, I know in the past we've sold some Between the Ropes t-shirts, and there's going to be some merchandise coming up here again. So I am putting together a page with TeePublic. And you'll be able to see that here very soon. I've still got to put some merchandise up there, or some logos. And there's going to be some designs I'm going to be working on as well. But within the next week or two, we'll have our TeePublic page where you can get Between the Ropes merchandise. T-shirts, both short sleeve and long sleeve. And there's going to be some other stuff when it comes to, like, if you want to get a mug or a sticker and all that stuff. So that is in the works right now. So be on the lookout for that. I will put out the link to that when everything is up there. It'll probably just be a few items at first, but be on the lookout for that coming up here. I'll have the link out there, and I'll put it on our Reddit page as well. So we'll have some merchandise coming up here that you can get. So, and I hope that's something that people be interested in, that you can get some Between the Ropes swag. And like I said, there's a bunch of different kinds of t-shirts when it comes to, there's like a regular t-shirt. There's one that's like a little bit more, I guess, a higher end t-shirt. Not that the regular ones are bad, but there's more higher end ones as well. A lot of t-shirt places do that. Plus you can get like a hoodie, or you can get a long sleeve t-shirt. So be a bunch of different merchandise that you can get for Between the Ropes and supporting what we do here and showing that you like the podcast. So I'll have that up and running here within the next week or two. But I wanted to make that announcement here, and everybody can be looking out for that coming up here very shortly. So, man, there's a lot of things to get to when it comes to WWE Crown Jewel. There was already a lot of controversy going into the show, and Once the show was done, I think there was a lot of people that might have been shaking their head or, you know, just looking at it going, what just happened? That's what that kind of was. It was kind of like one of these what just happened shows. So we'll get to all of that. Mike Sempervivi is going to join me here in a couple of minutes. Thanks again, everybody, for all of the support. And check out all those things I just threw out at you, especially for everybody on Patreon as well. I want to thank everybody there again. There's a lot of loyal people that are supporting me on Patreon, and I hope that more people will do that as well. So thanks again to everybody. And once again, check that out. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. I might be rambling at this point. I should get on to bringing in Mike. We should talk about Crown Jewel. Yeah, let's do that. He's Mike Sempervivi back on the podcast with me. Mike, what is it like from your perspective to know that we are now living in a world where Shane McMahon is the best in the world when it comes to professional wrestling?
That's right. A McMahon, the best in the world.
Wait, should anybody be surprised that they were doing a World Cup tournament and part of the reward was the winner would be dubbed the best in the world and a McMahon ended up winning it?
Mm. Come on.
What a show. What a weird show. The show was so basically lame and pedestrian leading up to the three matches. The main event is a separate thing. We'll push that to the side. But Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, which led into Shane McMahon winning the best in the world, the trophy to decide, the World Cup to decide the best in the world after the two world title matches, by the way. Yeah, that was something else. And the way they got to it was interesting. The Miz did a hell of a job selling his injury, and I'm assuming everybody out there already knows exactly what we're talking about, but the Miz did an amazing job selling, and then the realization started to creep in that Shane is going to be one in this match, and is he going to lose and fire himself? I don't think that's going to be the case, so I was surprised a little bit that it was clean, but Shane McMahon is your best in the world trophy holder and did so with a celebration that would make the B team blush.
I was laughing as some of these things happen because I'm not somebody who gets like really pissed off about this stuff. I know some people do. Me too. You know, I actually had, who was the one guy that there was somebody on Twitter that I mentioned something about, you know, Shane McMahon won. And or I said, I go, does he get to keep the trophy? And the response was, he could stick it up his ass for all I care. And I was like, wow, okay. let's chill here just a little bit. You know, it's just pro wrestling. But I look at this show and I seriously am like, okay, is WWE more tone deaf or just shoulders shrug about everything that went on from the real life controversy to the in-show controversy with the decisions they make when it came to booking?
They're in their own little snow globe and they don't like it when it gets shaken up. And if it does get shaken up by real world events that happen outside of it, what happens outside of it doesn't matter. We're going to, grab all these flakes and we're going to set them back down. We're going to place them where we want them to be. And that's exactly what they did. And there was a lot of this show that felt like it was a big kick in the crotch anyway. So why not end it with a McMahon running around ringside like a lunatic saying that he's the best in the world and that you know, he's the king wrestler and sports entertainer? I mean, why not? I mean, the fact that they brought back Hulk Hogan, which that raises an interesting question. I don't know how Hulk Hogan is viewed outside of what our UK listeners and supporters of the F4W online site, you know, apart from them, I'm not sure how the rest of the world really sees Hulk Hogan. So when it comes to India or the Middle East or even Australia or places like that, is this where Hulk Hogan is going to have a role? He's going to be the international ambassador of WWE, because everything seemed to go off without a hitch here. But the fact he was even on this show seemed like a big shoulder shrug, like you mentioned. Seemed like a big shoulder shrug of like, well, we'll just double down on this. We've already admitted we're doing it for the money. We're not going to explain our actions any further and let's go.
I thought the whole thing was a shoulder shrug to everybody, because I know that some people call it like tone deaf, like, oh, they don't realize this. They realize all of it. They don't care. You know, some of this might be because of future booking. I don't know. But at the same time, they're like, you know what? This is our idea. This is what we want to do. Remember, this show is not for people watching on the WWE Network. This show is to serve the people in the live audience there in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. That's who the show is for. That's why Hulk Hogan came back to the company on the show. That's why Shawn Michaels was on this show. That's why, to me, for the most part, Shane McMahon actually won that thing, because while people were going crazy on Twitter and screaming every kind of blasphemy that they could about this, the people there live at the show were like cheering for Shane McMahon to win, you know, the World Cup tournament. So to me, it's just like, they don't care. I mean, it's just a shoulder shrug going, yep. You know what? Guess what? We took the money. We had Brock Lesnar win the Universal Championship, and we're calling Shane McMahon the best in the world. Yeah. What's your problem? So what?
What matters anymore?
I mean, I know,
what matters?
I know.
Nothing, well, when nothing matters, and then you can do this and really not miss a beat. You know, they're incredibly rich. They're incredibly wealthy. They have TV money coming in. They haven't even started. People have opined to the ends of time already about SmackDown, and the show hasn't even debuted on Fox yet. We are a year away from that, and people are already wondering what happens if it gets low ratings. Will it be canceled? We're looking into the future so much. And they are as well, too, because they're seeing this big money and all of these things happening, and they're obviously riding a high wave. The fans are riding the low wave, and at some point, those are going to have to kind of like meet, because right now, WWE doesn't, again, for all of the money and all of that sort of stuff, I just, looking at the financials from the last quarter and how show events, and they're, again, you come to the average age and a lot of that sort of stuff, and I know this whole business is changing and how it's viewed and taken in and stuff like that, but I have concerns still about the future, even though right now, I mean, until, it's going to be a long time before something matters, and little by little, some of the mistakes that they're making are doing them real damage. But as far as the big picture scenario, I mean, nothing's going to stop them from shrugging their shoulders anytime soon.
Right. They don't have to worry about a lot of things because of the amount of money that are coming in on these future TV deals. But there's fewer and fewer people watching the shows. And the thing is, I mean, that's typical for most shows right now, just because there are so many programs that are out there. There are so many choices for people to watch TV or stream shows wherever you're watching programming or doing whatever you're doing. So, I mean, that's natural, but we're seeing a drop off in their audience, and it's been a gradual thing. House show business is down. We've seen, you know, the numbers for TV, the ratings have been down, those audiences and everything. So we'll see. But I mean, right for now though, I mean, they've got that money that's coming in next year. So, I mean, they're perfectly fine. We can get to the outside the ring controversy here in a few minutes. Let's talk about the show though itself, since it literally like just ended about an hour ago before we started taping this. But let me start with the Brock Lesnar Braun Strowman match, because I remember earlier in the day thinking about this, even probably like a couple of days ago, and I was doing the live blog for Sporting News, and I even wrote in there earlier when I first, you know, put up the post and everything, and I said, you know, everybody believes Braun Strowman's going to win the match. I tend to believe he's going to as well, but I'm not going to be surprised if Brock Lesnar wins the Universal Championship again, just because, you know, I think Vince likes the idea of him going to UFC as the champion. Whether or not he can take the title with him physically in the octagon, that remains to be seen. But I think Vince likes that idea. And lo and behold, come, the end of that match, Brock Lesnar was there holding the Universal Championship high once again. He is the champion, and he's not losing it at Survivor Series, even though he's going to be on that show, because he's in a champion versus champion match once again against AJ Styles, just like last year at Survivor Series, and neither title will be on the line. So that means he's got to be champion until at least December, because he doesn't wrestle on the TV shows. And I'm literally guessing at this point that Brock Lesnar will go into WrestleMania 35 as the WWE Universal Champion.
I don't know. But I'll say this. I have been a proponent of, and maybe this is somebody will be pointing at me going, and you're saying things don't matter, you know. You know, you're talking about them. I'm fine with him getting in the octagon with that belt.
Me too.
It's 2018. I mean, I'm all for that. I'm all for tying things together. And if you can work with Cormier or whatever, I mean, yeah, I'm actually all for it. If you can make something like that work, we're in an era of seeing so much worse that this is something that I think, I mean, they can check off a lot of boxes and the people that would be involved in it. You know, Lesnar takes the UFC very seriously. Daniel Cormier takes UFC seriously, but he'd also take wrestling seriously from how it sounds. He's taken everything else seriously from, you know, every other aspect of his life, including his announcing duties that he does for Fox, all of that stuff. And you may not like him as a fighter, as a personality or things like that, but like his discipline and his abilities to try to work as hard as he can. I mean, I have confidence in him, and I have confidence in making something work in both worlds concurrently. In a completely different way. And I really honestly say that as it stands right now on this, what, November 3rd, 2018, as we record this, I actually believe that. That world, they could pull that one off if everybody involved was dedicated to it. And I think it would be good for everybody involved. Now, with that said, is it good for the Universal title? Maybe not. It's going to go into a box again, probably until, at the very least, Royal Rumble. You know, as far as there being a big threat to Brock Lesnar, I would figure that's a good one, unless they do something wacky on Monday, which they absolutely could do that as well, too. We could have something where this is a temporary thing, but no, they're not going to continue to pay Brock. And you can look at him and know he is physically getting into shape to fight. You know, the way he is cut down, the way he looks, you can tell it's literally written on Brock's face. It looks like he has taken some punches and taken some grinding on the mat, possibly as he's been cutting in weight. You know, he seems to be getting ready for something, and maybe the belt comes off of him and he's going to be officially in that world and that's all he does. But let's say the title goes into a box until basically Royal Rumble. So what? The Intercontinental title situation right now consists of Seth Rollins, consists of Dean Ambrose. It consists of Drew McIntyre, it consists of Dolph Ziggler, and it can consist of a lot of other guys that can be the workhorses. And titles don't mean a whole hell of a lot anymore. As Best in the World proved tonight, I mean, we had two title matches, and then we had the trophy to decide the Best in the World. And I know that's a marketing ploy. They needed something for Saudi Arabia and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, really, at the end of the day, if Brock Lesnar's got that belt and it's in a box and the Intercontinental title is what everybody's fighting over, don't we just all want to see good matches and good stories anyway? So yeah. As long as they're giving us that, I'm fine. Because also, I don't need to see Braun Strowman out there on the microphone all the time. And I don't need to see him in the mix wrestling qualifying matches and being in long feuds where matches are important. So if he's going to be the guy that conquers Brock, which I would figure he is, I mean, you know, I don't necessarily need a wrestling feud with Braun involved anyway in Brock. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways they can go on top of, or one of them being as well, too, and I'll throw it back to you, is Seth Rollins being the glue that ties everything back together. You know, he was the one that caused Brock to lose and has always been a thorn in Roman's side and caused all sorts of problems with him. What if he goes and loses the, you know, any attempt he's got at the Intercontinental title, but he battles with Dean and, you know, he's that guy that ends up pulling the title off of Brock and you get a Dean Seth feud over the title. So there's a lot of different ways they can go. And I'm not boohooing any of that stuff yet, even though I know a lot of people online, you're not lying. If they weren't pissed about Shane, they were definitely pissed about Brock winning that title.
Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't really surprised by that because once Roman had to vacate the title, it made some sense for Lesnar to get it back here. And even though we know he's going back to UFC, I don't think anybody has doubted that he would be back in WWE for WrestleMania. So now they've altered the plans. They've got Lesnar with the championship. We'll see if he carries the title all the way to Mania. I think he will. And I think there's two rounds that they could go there. Well, there's actually three. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about Braun Strowman. That makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Seth Rollins, and I think that makes a lot of sense as well. The other route that I would throw out there, and the one that just off the top of my head, I think they could easily go and they might pull the trigger on, would be Brock Lesnar against Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. That's the one where I kind of wonder, like, could they do something in the meantime between Drew and Braun? And then whoever comes out of that, that will be the person that ends up feuding with Brock for that championship down the line. I'd love to see Seth in the mix, you know, if they want to do that instead. I mean, I think a Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins match, especially at WrestleMania, would be awesome. But there's something about Drew McIntyre that I just wonder if they're saying, okay, things have changed since Roman is out of the picture now, and maybe that's, we need to jumpstart Drew or move up our plans with Drew and do something with him at WrestleMania where he ends up being the Universal Champion.
I could see that, because I could see Drew winning the Royal Rumble, and yep. I could see that, you know, if you want to do the split with him and Dolph, like, you know, if anybody saw Crown Jewel, and I think this has been the case in several of their promos where Dolph is talking about, you know, everybody's hated him and how he's the best and he's here to prove he's the best. You know, Drew is always kind of looking over and kind of giving that snide look to him and just kind of like, yeah, I hear you, bro.
How about that promo they did where they did the pre-tape promo where Dolph was talking about how he's the best in the world. Drew just stood there and kind of glanced at him. I was like, what? I go, is that a statue? Is that a robot or something? Or is that Drew McIntyre?
Well, that's, you know, always good subtlety, because that could always go nowhere where your partner's just listening to you as you cut your rap and then they look over and smile at the end. But obviously, it's wrestling, so they've used things like that in the past to show turns, especially for professional wrestling companies that love to make video packages, which WWE does. I have a feeling we'll be seeing that, you know, crop up a lot when they start feuding. But that's the direction that they seemingly are going with those guys. And why not have Drew McIntyre win at the Royal Rumble and toss Dolph out of there towards the end, or at least at some point in the match that sparks something up, because they really do like Drew, and he is a future champion there. The only thing that kind of gets me on Drew, and this is nothing, it means nothing, it's just he and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, as I sit here right now, I can't. There just doesn't seem to be a Brock Lesnar WrestleMania match. That seems to fit. It's somewhere higher on the scale than the Dean Ambrose match is, but it's somewhere lower on the scale than anything with Roman Reigns or The Undertaker or anybody else and Brock Lesnar. Maybe I won't feel that way if they really get Drew hot and humming as a babyface and Brock, you know, if he ends up holding onto that belt and for that long, maybe I'll feel different about it. But I wonder, and I wonder then too, if you are going to do something like that, I don't know, because I'd still like to see, if I see Brock at WrestleMania, especially if he goes out and he is fighting in UFC and he does have a match with Cormier or a fight with Cormier in the beginning of the year, you know, in February or March or whatever, like him involved in a short built, because that's what it would have to be if he has a fight, a short built program that is against... And I don't want to see this or you know, anything like that, but like The Rock or somebody, a more celebrity style, a more, you know, glossy WrestleMania moment situation, as opposed to a built feud or a match or something like that.
They'd have to figure out a way for him to drop the title before.
But actually, to me, he would do it at that point. He would do it the Royal Rumble. And then that way, if Drew wins the Rumble, you have your opponent for him kind of set up as he feuds with Dolph and he's, you know, they're maybe fighting over the briefcase or whatever, not the briefcase, but they're fighting over position or whatever it is. But that's how you get Drew on a title path and maybe facing Braun Strowman. I think that to me is more palatable WrestleMania title match than it would be, I think, for Brock at that point, especially again, if Brock has had a fight in that time, whether it be John Jones, Daniel Cormier, or Derek Lewis, for all we know.
Yeah. Seth Rollins makes a hell of a lot of sense, because we've never really gotten that memorable, meaningful Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins match. I know they faced once in there, but I mean, to do it on a WrestleMania scale, considering the story that they can tell with those guys, and considering how hot Seth is as a babyface right now, I mean, hell, even watch the show today over in Saudi Arabia. I mean, Seth was the hottest guy there. Every time that he came out, that crowd went berserk for Burn It Down. I mean, he's on fire. And to say, okay, he's the guy that we see as maybe one of our top guys, I don't know if it's going to be as distinguished, I guess, or just kind of as we really know who's the top guy, like when Roman was the champion and Roman was there, but you know, with Cena not going to be there, Roman's not going to be around for a while. I don't know if they're really going to have that one guy you point to as the top guy, and it's going to be probably a multiple guys, but Seth is right there in the picture. And then you've got a babyface champion with Drew that can chase him. Strowman can chase him if they want. Ambrose can chase him. You've got plenty of other heels that can chase him. Plus, they're always going to shake things up, you know, around WrestleMania.
We got a long way. we got a long way to go to Rumble. Let's say they pull the trigger on Drew early, and Drew is the guy that is holding the title around the time Royal Rumble happens, and he's the champion leading into Mania.
Yeah.
And then finally, Seth breaks through Dean Ambrose and does whatever he does, and he wins the Rumble, which I'm sure is going to get a good pop and would probably alleviate some of the people that will be chanting for Daniel Bryan, no matter who wins. You know, Seth will probably get a good reaction at the end of that thing. And then you got Seth and Drew, and Seth being the guy that stands on top of WrestleMania again. I mean, there's a lot. There is some ways you can go with Braun and with Seth and with a couple of guys there where, you know, it's not the best era in the world when it comes to massive or larger than life superstars or anything like that, but you can still main event Mania at the MetLife Center and still have it come out being pretty good.
Let's talk about Shane McMahon and let's talk about the best in the world. So they do this World Cup tournament. It's everything that I kind of thought. I mean, I didn't expect anything to be blow away. This all night long up until they got to a certain point, the show was just your simple, basic, you know, good guy versus bad guy stories.
Very
in the matches.
Pedestrian house show.
Yes, very, very average, very simple, very, you know, kind of broken down stuff. And I really thought Kurt Angle was going to win that because then they could say, like, Mr. Americana, you know, wins the World Cup. We can call him best in the world. He's still got it, all that kind of stuff. Maybe we should have looked a little bit more, or at least I should have, when it came to Angle saying, okay, can Kurt Angle do three matches in one night, even if they're not long matches? And I think the answer to that was no. So that's why they had him lose in the first round. They did heel versus heel in the finals between Miz and Ziggler. That's why it was set up. And then they did the injury angle with Miz. And then Shane McMahon jumps in there. By the way, that ref is a pushover and biased. Okay, because, and it's funny because Michael Cole was going crazy on commentary talking about what a farce this all was, which, there you go, everybody. If you don't like Michael Cole for this night, if you didn't like what happened with Shane McMahon, you can say that he was the voice of reason. But they did this whole thing where Shane McMahon, as the GM of SmackDown, stopped the ring announcer, Greg Hamilton, from saying that the match was over due to forfeit and Dolph Ziggler won. And then he had put himself in the match and the referee's like, yeah, sure. And then the referee removed Baron Corbin from ringside, said, nah, get out of here. You know? And then 2.5 minutes later, or whatever it was, there's Shane McMahon hitting coast to coast and beats Dolph Ziggler clean. And then afterwards, he's posing, he's running around the ring, he's got the trophy, which I hope to God that guy can keep it. He's raising it up, and, you know, he's the, you know, best in the world. People are going nuts. Michael Cole is even saying how ridiculous this is, but that's where they went. Shane McMahon, a McMahon, is the best in the world. I don't know if it was just something to please the live audience, or could this be something more storyline where maybe they go where he's now a heel and they're going to do something off this. I know some people said, well, maybe they could do something with Chris Jericho. I don't know about that. They could easily do something with The Miz off of this. So who knows where they're going to go, but that was, to me, that was the shoulder shrugging moment of the night where I was just like, okay, maybe I need to go get a drink.
Does Shane get a title shot out of this now? Is there any title shot at stake?
There was no title shot at stake. You got the trophy and just being able to call yourself the best in the world. I hope that he shows up to SmackDown and just annoys the piss out of everybody saying, hey, you know what? You might be good, but you're not the best in the world. Hey, AJ Styles, I know you're the WWE champion and you just beat Samoa Joe and last week you beat Daniel Bryan, but you know what you're not? You're not the best in the world.
Yeah, you're phenomenal, but you're not the best in the world.
Hey, CM Punk, suck on that because you might call yourself the best in the world. I won a tournament that makes me the best in the world.
What fights have you won on canvas recently there, Phil? You know, I can see all that stuff. And I look, if that's the direction they're going to go in, I'm actually okay with that. If that's what it's going to be, especially because this is going to drive Brian Alvarez nuts, which is one of the reasons it makes me happy. We were talking on the show on Thursday, and I can't remember how we got to it, but I said, because I think it was about a title match. Like, what about if you got Shane and Miz in a title match at WrestleMania? Just because I brought it up because it would be like his, like, I don't know what circle of hell it is, but it would be a close one to the core. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
It's in there deep. So, and after watching what took place, I'm not saying that I should play the lottery this weekend or maybe a little Delaware football pool, but, you know,
Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
Maybe because to me, The Miz has been a hell of a babyface anyway with a lot of what's gone on unintentionally during the Daniel Bryan feud, where Daniel Bryan looked like he was insane at a couple of points.
Hey, the Saudi but crowd also, loved The Miz. They didn't treat him like a heel.
Well, that's the thing is he is. I mean, it's one of those things where we're in the era of personality, and they were in a country where the guys travel from a country that's got a lot of personality, whether you like it or not, that's running it. Went to another country where there's a lot of personality running it. We're truly in a cult of personality era. There you go, Phil. And a cult of personality era in a lot of ways. And that's what people want to see. They want to see these personalities. People don't care if Elias wrestles Daniel Bryan or they wrestle Jinder Mahal. They'll boo him if they have to. They'll cheer him if they have to. But one thing they definitely want to see is the performance. They just want to see them. And people want to see The Miz. And there's a lot of people that would like to see The Miz as a babyface, which he's kind of been portrayed as anyway. If you've seen his show, or again the pushback and how he's come across and how people have reacted to him in the Daniel Bryan feud, it may be time for that. And I think they played that perfectly. He did a hell of a job selling that injury when he jumped down. Yeah. It was like for a second it was really shocking, and then the reality all started to sink in kind of quick after that. But still, you know, for a minute there it was really good. And with him limping to the back and carried out like that, sure, The Miz can still be a heel. He can still be brought up, and Shane can still be the babyface. I mean, this is WWE. It's the alternate universe of all alternate universes. So what we see is not really what we're seeing, like Becky Lynch and Charlotte, for example. So Shane may still be the babyface and Miz the heel in all this, but I tell you what, Miz came out of it looking pretty good.
By the way, you mentioned Becky Lynch and Charlotte. So did you notice where they were plugging Survivor Series, and they must have had the graphics on the big screen there for the live audience there as well, and they showed the Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and it got a huge pop.
It's the hottest eyes in the world off of those two women. But yeah,
I don't know if it was a thing where they're like, ooh, ladies.
They pulled it real close. I mean, they pulled it in real close. It was really just focusing on their faces, and whether it was the fact that it was the women's match or whether it was the fact that it was, you know, because it's not like the show doesn't air over there. It's not like people don't know. You know, everybody that's sitting in that arena who was loaded down with merch, you know, not the royal family on the side of the ring, but everybody else who seemed to be there was legitimate fans. I'm sure they all know exactly who Becky Lynch is. So,
hey, can they tell the royal family that when the show starts, to not stand opposite the hard camera, all huddled up and having a conversation, sit down and watch the show? Come on, guys.
Well, you know what? That's why I was hoping when the New Day was doing the magic carpet gimmick that they were just like, I wonder if they got the decree of like, look, do not, now you're going to be up there high and you're going to be right over their section. Don't be hitting the royal family with no pancakes.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, my God. Can you imagine that controversy?
Well, it was just crazy ridiculous there. But yeah,
magic carpet to the ring. I mean, come on, let's dissect that for a second. I was just like, good Lord, should I be outraged by this or laugh, or I don't know how to feel right now.
That was wild. That was absolutely wild. There was you had your they love fireworks, and WWE like shooting off fireworks, because at the beginning of the show it's just like, okay, we're gonna have fireworks.
Dude, they gave Hogan pyro worthy of the winner of WrestleMania.
That was worthy of the winner of the world. And then it didn't stop. Like, I mean, this was beyond Olympic level, for the
Hogan,
entire week, not
posing.
Just one night.
Hogan stopped posing and the pyro was still going on. It was like, do I need to keep doing this?
And everybody did. I mean, there's the one plus, I guess, about, they made a lot of cutbacks, and deservedly so. I mean, I love pyro. I love the one of the things about the Attitude Era was the presentation had changed so dramatically from when we were kids watching, where everything was really over the top. Remember back in the day, in the NWA, they would use that one sparkler that would go around in a circle And it was essentially just like a kid, like whipping his arm around like a third base coach or something like that. Like that. And we were happy to have that with some colored lights.
Randy Orton gave the most milquetoast, boring pre-tape promo of all time. And that dude got pyro going to the ring.
And look at a time where we don't have as much of that anymore because of the budget. And I get it. You know, I get it. It does get overdone sometimes too. You know, it's not special if everybody's got it and it happens all the time. But for shows like this, these sold shows at these stadiums, you know, like in Australia and this and wherever else they go, I mean, my God, for the guys coming down, the guys and the women, they come down to the ring, you know, being able to have all that extra pyro as if it's Mania, you know, for some of those people, they're not going to make Mania.
No, you know, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Where you don't make Mania, you don't have that type of ability to have that kind of entrance. So these shows provide another chance to have that. As dumb as it sounds, I mean, one of the things that you love as a performer is going out there and feeling a buzz, and you love to have all the bells and whistles. And you know, at least most people do, you know, so it's like to have that stuff, you know, it's got to be a good feeling.
The Shane McMahon thing was totally ridiculous. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but in the moment, just like, dear God, even looking at it now, it's just like, okay, that was.
It was the final kick in the balls of a show. It really was. Nothing but a kick in the balls.
At that point, it's just like, do whatever you want. I'm like, if you want Hulk Hogan to win the championship, and I don't
know. People were saying that, like, they were going to go on WrestleMania 9, and Hogan could come out and either beat Shane, or why didn't he go out there and beat Brock? It was like, well, you people just, man, get a hold of yourselves.
Yeah, at that point, it was just like, all right, okay. I'm in on the joke. I mean, we're all in on it. You know, I will say this, though. So the main event, when, you know, they've got Taker and Kane against Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Shawn was in there a lot more than any of us expected. I think a lot of that match had to be ad-lib because Triple H obviously got hurt in that match when he did the take the bump over the corner and to the floor. And he couldn't use his right arm for the rest of the match, even though he tried to do a couple pedigrees and whatnot, but couldn't chop, couldn't punch, couldn't do anything. That right arm was gone. So Shawn had to work a lot of that match. Shawn looked fantastic, considering he hasn't been in the ring. And, you know, I'm sure he's done it, obviously, at the Performance Center, but he has not had an official match in almost 8 years. He looked great. He moved fine. I think that match was better than even I expected. I'm not saying it's great, but it was better than I expected. I thought Shawn looked really good. I was absolutely terrified, though, when he did a moonsault off the top rope to the floor, and neither Taker or Kane, two of the biggest guys in the company, didn't catch him, and Shawn fell on his head and immediately started bleeding from over his left eye. And then after the match ended, him and Triple H were laying in the corner of the ring, and Shawn said, I'm too old for this crap, so I don't know if we're going to see him in the ring again, but I thought that match was a lot better than anybody expected.
Shawn Michaels was amazing. Shawn Michaels was amazing to me, and that he really was. He went out there, he was 55, whatever he is. I know he's jacked up, knees jacked up, back jacked up, all that stuff, but, I mean, he's out there with that bald head, and it's like, I don't know if he can play or not.
He looked fine, though. Once he had the bald head and I really saw him and he had the beard, I was just like, no, he looks fine.
He looked like you can't catch your ass out of the basketball court. Like, the old man will light you up.
Oh,
like,
yeah, man.
I don't think that's his game. But, like, you know, holding that bow and arrow, which is not an easy thing. Anybody who goes out there like, oh, God, you're bow and arrow hunting. Try to pull back and hold that thing for as long as it's those hard. Guys hold those crossbows. It is really really hard, dumb as it sounds.
I remember talking to him like about 5 years ago, and he was still in good shape. And I said something to him like, so now that you are retired, like, do you enjoy like an extra dessert or some cookies or whatever? And he goes, you know, I really want to. I can't do it that much. And I go, why is that? And he goes, because I'm a wrestler. I'm vain. He goes, I am so vain. I still don't want to look at myself and be a big fat guy.
No, and look, for anything that he, you know, finding religion and all that sort of stuff, you still are who you are and you have your personality.
Yeah.
Those types of driven guys and stuff like that. I mean, very rare did you get a guy that looked like Bob Roop later on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless it was a lot later on. Like, Bob Roop kind of like blew up immediately. He was like, seemed like he was pushing four bills quick when he got out of wrestling. But like, there are a lot of guys who just, it's just not in them, and they stay athletic, they stay competitive doing things, whether it's tiddlywinks or podcasts or hunting or anything. And he was not going to come back to this thing and not take it seriously. And I was doing Observer Live when that match was in the ring, so I didn't see what you meant about Hunter, but I damn sure saw what you meant about Sean, because thank God we were in break, because I screamed out audibly, ooh, when he hit that moonsault, or when he didn't hit that moonsault, and his knee seemingly hit Kane in the head and the Undertaker in the shoulder, and neither one of those guys goes down, and he went down and, like you said, hit his head and his upper body first. And then he comes up, and I didn't see it until later, but he had that little crescent cut, boxer cut over his left eye. And he had blood on his nose, and he had blood on his mouth, and he looked wrecked. But my God, did he put it all out there. He looked phenomenal. So I got to rewatch it and see what the deal was with Triple H and his arm and everything like that. But I tell you what, between that move and a little bit later on where there was a pedigree that Triple H used on The Undertaker, and he's so jacked up, he dropped down to his knees and looked like he broke his neck impaling himself on the mat taking that move. So both of those things made me cringe, and hopefully everybody got out of that thing as unscathed as possible.
I'm telling you, Triple H either tore his rotator cuff or he tore his bicep. He did one of those two. He suffered a major injury in that match.
That's not good, too, because he's as lean as I think he wants to get and still be out there performing. I mean, he's done an amazing job resculpting his body and changing up his diet and whatever supplements or whatever he's on, because he looks great, and he's probably got as much mass off of him as he's going to want and still go out there and wrestle. But if he keeps going out there and getting hurt every time he goes out, which has been seemingly the case a few times in these last couple times, I mean, maybe we just need Uncle Paul all the time, or Paul the character, or Triple H the character. We don't need him out there doing these best ofs, whether, you know, somebody wants to pay $1 zillion for it or not, because I'm not trying to see somebody get paralyzed or busted up or hurt in the ring. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with him or anything like that. But I don't want to see dudes get hurt just to you know, pop a crowd. I don't think so.
By the way, we have an update to the Triple H injury. According to Mike Johnson from PW Insider, it is believed torn right pectoral muscle.
Ouch.
Yo, that's Ouch. That is nasty, man.
And you know what that's going to do, too? Aesthetically,
yeah,
that changes you dramatically. A lot of people make cracks about Chris Jericho and Kofi Kingston's chest as good examples of, like, man, what happened to their chest? When you tear, it is very hard to rebuild. Now, he's got the money to do the plastic surgery and all that sort of stuff if he so chose. But, you know, do you really want to do that? Like, you can always go back and stay in shape and lift weights. It's like, but if aesthetically we're talking about vanity, if that's going to be an issue, you know, Triple H, with as we knew him, may be gone, because, again, that's going to change you out physically, I would assume, a little bit. And, hey, I don't need to see any of these guys in the ring. I didn't need to see this main event tonight. I don't need to see these guys in the ring. I didn't need to see Shawn Michaels ever again.
Do you think we're going to see Shawn Michaels again? Use him?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I mean, when he's laying there in the corner and he's talking about, like, we're too old for this, I'm like, I've always thought, like, we'll see how he does on this, and maybe he'll do WrestleMania. And, you know, like I said before, he was in that match a lot. I don't know if it was originally planned that way or if he just had to do it because of the injury to Triple H or whatever. He looked great. He got ready for the match, and, I mean, he did his damnedest. And I don't know who they would want to put him against if they did WrestleMania. Would they want to go back to an AJ Styles match, which is something that got offered to him before and he said no? Or would they want to do Taker? I don't know. As good as he looked.
Well, does he want to do bells and whistles, or does he want to do, you know, because he didn't seem like he wanted to do that. And at Mania, when it's just you and they give you Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles or anybody else,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would say wanting
to do that.
Yeah, I know that he was worried about, like, if I went against one of the younger guys, I feel like I'd embarrass myself just because they're younger, they go at a different pace or whatever. I would say this, though. If he wanted to do Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles, I think the pace would be fine, and he could keep up with that. Seth would be a little bit different because Seth runs a little hot out there.
No, God, it's the last guy I want him. Look, Seth and Legends is not a good mix to me.
Right, exactly. And I love Seth, but it's not a good fit. But, hey, I don't need to see Sean out there again. If he wants to do it, they've got some for him, then I'm fine with it, especially after seeing how good he was out there. And I mean, I expected him to at least look good. I'm just shocked at how much he had to be out in the ring for, and he looked fine out there for that. But, yeah, I'm with you. You know,
I don't know how the mayor's feeling about now.
I can't wait to get back to my constituency and put this all behind me before I really get caught with my ass in the fire.
The kingdom's a dry country, too, because the thing is,
they're on a plane to Spain already. They're already on the plane, and they're all half drunk. Okay.
I'm sure they had to get the beer in to make the flight more tolerable. But boy, yeah. I tell you what, that beer in the ice tub, that's where I'd wait. I'd try to hold off as long as I could and made sure I got in there or at least got on the training table, because that would have to feel fantastic after what those guys put themselves through.
As much booze got drunk on the infamous plane ride from hell, I'll bet as much could get drunk here, and it would just be people drinking in relief. Just like, thank God that's over.
We got out of there. You know, it's a story for a different day, and I've talked to different people about that, and fighters and things like that, and wrestlers, you know, about traveling, and it's like, you know, there's a lot more trepidation than people think, because it's like, go ask your 20 friends what they think. Some people would be all for it. Some people would be against it. You know, this is the same way with the wrestlers too. And there are guys that, like, you know, they would love to flex their independent contract status the same way John Cena and Brian Danielson did, but they can't. And that's understandable. But, you know, that was nice actually to see too, with Cena and Daniel Bryan not being there. And you can say, you know, with John Cena in China, you know, that opens up a different set of worms that you could talk about, that you would make a stand against one and not the other. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he did. And maybe it was for his career or whatever, but, like, he did. And that was the reason. And we're not probably going to hear him publicly say it for quite some time. But, you know, that's the reason that he and Daniel Bryan did. And WWE can't bury either one of them. John Cena, because he's not there that much. And Daniel Bryan, because, well, there's no way you can bury Daniel Bryan to the people. So they were at least able to flex theirs, and that was nice to see.
Let me talk about that for a minute or two here, because it was nice to see, and I don't blame any of the guys that went forward with the show, whether they had a problem with it, whether they didn't. And I don't know if it's a case of guys just look at it and say, well, this is my job. The heat's on the company. It's not on me, or I don't really have that big of a problem with it. They have the wrestler mentality of the show must go on, whatever the case might be. I don't know if a lot of them were barking about behind the scenes going, I'd really like to do something about it, but I'm worried about my spot, kind of a thing. But this is one of those areas where it's great that John Cena and Daniel Bryan, you know, decided not to go for whatever the reasons are, whether it's, you know, because they're worried about their image or because of, you know, they don't like what's going on in Saudi Arabia.
And we should say, you know, John Cena hasn't said what the reason is, although there's been speculation over it. It's got a lot to do with his career at this point and going over there, and the fact that he has been one of the people that John Oliver, you know, he's had a burgeoning Hollywood career trying to get one going, and John Oliver just torched him as well as the rest of the company on the last two HBO shows. So I could see why that's an issue. With Daniel Bryan, it seems to come down to his friendship with Sami Zayn and his questions over social issues, including how they treat women and homosexuals, as well as the obviously tie with Sami Zayn being Sirerian.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but regardless, I mean, the rest of the guys did the show, and I just wonder, you know, what would have happened if there was, say, even a half dozen more guys or even 10 guys that said, you know what, can't do it. You know what? I love my job. I want to do my job. I don't want to hurt my standing, but I don't like what's going on over in Saudi Arabia. I felt uncomfortable the first time. Now, I will say this, though, at least this time around, WWE did not make this into an infomercial about how great Saudi Arabia is and how they're all about change. And obviously, they could not do that. I mean,
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to mention that at the beginning. And I think that's very important for people to, you know, who didn't see the show or skipped it to realize is, there was no doubling down. There was no Vision 2030, you know, hype or anything like that. So whoever, they did realize that there was an issue there, both on the, I'm sure on both the Saudi and WWE levels.
Yeah. They thanked one of the princes early on. I mean, in the pre-show, they mentioned they were in Riyadh. In the main show, they mentioned the building they were in, but they never once said Saudi Arabia anywhere on this show. And those are the only two references to even where they were at. And like I said, you know, if guys had a problem with it or not, you know, that's up to them to choose how they wanted to deal with it. But I am still kind of curious, what if more people were like a John Cena or a Daniel Bryan and said, you know what? Anything else, you know, I'd be happy with doing the show. I understand that there can be controversy around what we do, but you know what? I don't want to be a part of this. I don't feel comfortable going to Saudi Arabia. And I just wonder how the company would have handled it because, you know, it's tough to punish or be mad at guys for going, you know, to or trying to make them go to a show or not wanting to go do the show, considering the political ramifications that are around it. I mean, look at what happened years ago. Rob Van Dam didn't want to go to Iraq, you know, when they went over there and said, no, I am not going, you know, the hell with the repercussions on that. And I would hope there wouldn't be any repercussions. I know some people are like, well, it's obvious that they're punishing Daniel Bryan because they made him tap out and then Samoa Joe choked him out afterwards. I didn't see it that way. I'm like, no, they want to firmly put Samoa Joe in that match. I thought it made sense storyline wise for Daniel Bryan to tap out on TV. I didn't look at it as a punishment whatsoever.
Because it wasn't. It wasn't. It was a way to get Daniel Bryan out of the match. Now, look, if Daniel Bryan goes out there and loses to Ty Dillinger next week and then he goes out the next week and takes an L against somebody else, okay. Well, now we got a barrier on our hands.
Well, he's not going to lose to Ty Dillinger because he's out with surgery for his hand.
Well yeah, but I mean, who's the gender over there? Mojo Rawley?
Sure.
So if he goes out there and starts taking L's to him and whatnot, okay, then you got Daniel Bryan going.
Right.
But until that happens, it was a way to get the belt off of him. It was a way to transition the match to Samoa Joe. It was a way to make sure that Daniel Bryan was clearly out of the picture, and Joe choked AJ out too. So you had the hole that opened up to give Joe the match. So I don't, you know, anybody that is complaining about that, I think is, you're looking at this and you're way too emotionally and way too short-sighted right now. Believe me, you'll have your chance to be upset over something they do with Daniel Bryan because they're going to do something stupid. They always do. But I don't think this was it. So, you know, and I hear what you're saying too on wanting other people to do it. And I get that. And I think they should, but you know, as far as WWE, you don't think they can really hold something against them or that they wouldn't. They absolutely would. And they would figure out a way to do it creatively.
Right.
And for anybody that's not John Cena or Daniel Bryan, you're at that risk. One of the reasons I don't know if I said it here last week when we were talking or the week before last, but like if I can see a lot of injuries that need to get shored up the same way, you know, at the end of the season, your football team is, if you're in college, is maybe like 2-8 and you got two more games.
Right.
Or your pro team is,
I don't want to go play in the Pro Bowl and suddenly I'm going to go have my knee scoped.
You're 3-11 and you got a couple more games left of the regular season. You're not going anywhere. It's like, you know, this nagging injury, I might need to get fixed up. And I'm not saying Kevin Owens did that at all. But what I'm saying is I think I can see in the future, I can see guys wanting to get little nagging injuries shored up and going to their personal doctors and coming back to WWE and their doctors and going, my man says he needs to get this done now, and I would feel a lot better about it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm Kevin Owens, I ain't never going to Saudi Arabia with my boy, my guy that they won't let in the country. I'm never going over there. I'm staying loyal to Sami Zayn if I'm Kevin Owens. And, I firmly believe, not knowing either man, that would be the case.
Couple last things about the show. So Hulk Hogan was there. He began the main card of the show. He was the host, got a big reception, short promo, stayed to the script, talked about how he was happy to see all his Hulkamaniacs right here at the Crown Jewel, Jack, you know.
Looked like Hogan, sounded like Hogan.
Right, you know. And
didn't drop any N-bombs, which was nice.
He was there for like 2 or 3 minutes, ton of pyro, get the hell out of Dodge. Renee Young was part of the broadcast team. She was there. She was in a very plain black loose outfit at ringside.
Still looked fabulous.
Yes, absolutely. And
she looked like she was in like a rayon type of like spandex blend of a black sheet where only her head and, you know, was sticking out of it. Her neck was covered.
She didn't have to wear a hijab or anything like that. She didn't have to have her head covered.
No, she had it draped over her fingers, but the hair blonde and glowing and the lipstick on it and looked fantastic and sounded fantastic. And for as much of a mess as that announcing team is and can be, and I don't like the bickering crap that they do it with all the announcers, and they've been doing it with Renee calling Corey, hey, listen up, Graves, and they're doing the same shit on Raw that I absolutely can't stand. Absolutely can't stand it. But she's good, and she can develop into something for a long, long time. Where I don't know if she's ever going to be number one, you know, as long as Cole's there, but I could see her being a future number one, and that would make me happy.
So the other couple of things when it comes to the controversy going into the show, when it came to the United States residents and Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi that we've talked about here on the podcast before, there's been more and more controversy about this. I mean, since WWE put out their third quarter financial and said, hey, we're definitely going, you know, like, I understand there's a lot of controversy around that. It's a tough decision, but we're going to do it. And like that day, I believe, is when there was more about the whole, you know, death of Khashoggi and how that all went down. And everybody keeps changing their story over there. Then I believe just, what was it, 2 days ago, we got the story from the Washington Post. Here's part of the story. It said, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who all along has talked about, like, I didn't know that that guy was going to get killed and it wasn't on me and we're going to have an investigation, all this stuff. No, he had a conversation with Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, and National Security Advisor John Bolton, where, according to people familiar with discussion, described Jamal Khashoggi as a dangerous Islamist. And by the way, there's also stories now that, of course, it was all premeditated. We know that. But the second, like, he walked into the consulate building in Turkey, he was jumped, he was choked to death, and he was dismembered. Vince McMahon, on their conference call, when he talked to people following the financials, very brief about it, didn't want to answer questions about it. And Stephanie McMahon's comment about this to Sky News in an interview she did was, quote, moving forward with Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia was an incredibly tough decision, given that heinous act. But at the end of the day, it is a business decision. And like a lot of other American companies, we decided that we're going to move forward with the event and deliver Crown Jewel for all of our fans in Saudi Arabia and around the world, unquote. In other words, let's get in, let's get out, let's take the money, and let's put this in our rear view mirror. And that's exactly what they did.
But it's only there for a year. They got 9 more years of this. They got 9 yep. more years of this coming up. And it started off with Khashoggi, and it's not going to go away. And it'll be tempered in time, I'm sure, until the next thing. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to see Khashoggi's last commentary and op-ed that he put in the Washington Post, where he talked about other media members that had been locked up for speaking out and being looked at as dangerous enemies of that state. And I know there's bad stuff that happens everywhere. But the timing of this, all the incestuous things that have taken place in business-wise and politically and everything else, not only within this country, but with other countries and over there, with all the things that have been going on, for them to run this show, it will never, they'll have to wear this one forever. And some of it will go away, but there are going to be echoes and there are going to be shadows on this thing that lasts forever. And they will be revisited every single year for the next 9 years, if not for eternity, depending on how all of this stuff goes and the future of that area goes. So still unbelievably short-sighted. I, in some ways, give them credit that they said, you know, what was that Ruggles song? All you need is cash. You know, that's what they did. They did it for the money, and they make no bones about that. But the fact that they're not answering any other questions about it, the fact that they will not answer any other questions about it, they will use their gilded association with so many media members and these puff interviews that they do, and they'll make sure to steer clear from it and talk about the serious aspects of it, including the guy on their roster, Sami Zayn, who was not allowed to go, who has raised a bunch of money and tried to put up a lot of mobile hospitals in a place and keeps getting bombed out and depleted, you know, with our bombs, with our weapons, you know. Because again, there was the school bus attack. There's a lot. There's a lot over there where, again, you unpack it a little bit and you see what's going on. And geopolitical things are always going to be an issue, and people don't like them involved in their wrestling and things like that. But like in this day and age, the world has gotten a lot smaller. And when things like this happen, you expect there to be some sort of, I don't know, some sort of make good in some way or some sort of sanity or something like that. And I don't think we got it in this case. And I think the whole thing has really just been sad and pathetic.
Did you see Sami Zayn tweeting during the show that he was in Reykjavik, Iceland, and Bjork was behind him in line?
I did not see that. See, Sammy has blocked me on Twitter. I don't know.
That's right.
Yes, because of that whole thing. Because I have a feeling, because I went after, you know, obviously I had my issue with the Road Dogg, and the Road Dogg really more having an issue with me. And I think this has got something to do with Becky Lynch, but I'm not sure. Because, again, when it comes to the politics and when it comes to a lot of things of belief, Sammy and I share those, including obviously an appreciation for Bjork, who I will never forget for those couple albums that she had there in the mid 90s.
Couple of other things I wanted to hit on, because I haven't got a chance to talk about it yet. So WWE,
did you like that? Now I don't know how old. Did you remember the Bjork Human Behavior album? Did you like that or did you hate that? That was a very polarizing song.
It's very weird. It's all very weird.
It's so quiet. That was, man, another great Spike Jones directed video. But anyway,
Bjork's very weird altogether.
She remember she whipped ass on that woman at the media member at the airport. It was just like, hey Bjork, how you doing? And she was like, ah, and like kind of clawed her you know, a cat losing its mind, and then like ran off.
Like Alec Baldwin punching a guy over a parking spot and being in jail.
When Observer Live was on too. I mean, well, if you think about it, when you think of celebrities punching somebody out, Alec Baldwin, does it not seem hard to get riled up?
Pretty high up on the list. Now, was he doing Trump character from Saturday Night Live?
As he was punching on me, he was like hitting him with the Donnie. Yeah,
right. I haven't got a chance to talk about Evolution yet. And I just wanted to hit on that for a couple of minutes, because I mean, that obviously was last weekend. But, you know, that had a little bit of a different presentation. It was a little bit more like NXT. I think most people liked that show. I think some people liked it more than me, but I thought it was a good show overall. I have no problem with that show. Becky and Charlotte were incredible. And I mean, going into it, I knew they weren't going to close the show. I think we all deep down knew they were going to have Ronda Rousey, you know, in the main event of that show. That match was perfectly fine. And everything we thought they were going to do with her and Nikki and Brie getting involved in that match as well. Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, that was something special. The way they went out there, they busted their ass. They had the best match that they've had so far in their time together in WWE and with that feud. And they deserve all the credit in the world for that, man. And the Evolution show came off well. I would assume they're probably going to do it again going forward.
You know, it's a, what's her name now? Tegan Knox.
Yeah.
That she gave me the same feeling. Maybe it's just, I got a Welsh Scotch thing, an Irish thing, but like I saw her, I remember seeing Becky Quinn or Rebecca Quinn way back in the day. And I had that same feeling the first time I saw, Tegan Knox, wrestle. And it's like, you know, she keeps getting hurt. She's blown out both of her knees now. It's like, I remember there was a time where Becky Lynch, she retired, and I'd have to go back. I can't remember exactly what it was. I can't remember if it was neurological or what, but it was like, she's not going to wrestle anymore. And she retired and she was gone. She'd never come back. And then she came back. It's just like, you know, never give up and never stop and always keep trying to grind it out, because at some point you're going to hit. And boy, has Becky Lynch hit. And it's, you know, all in spite of what they do, because with Sami Zayn, with Bayley, with Becky Lynch, with Daniel Bryan, they don't know how to book baby faces anymore. All they know how to get is artificial heat.
Well, even Becky Lynch, she's not a baby face and she's getting over as a heel.
But that's the thing is, and because she got over as an organic baby face, winning her matches clean with her move. And always being spunky and always trying hard and always being personable and always being involved with her fans, both in real life and, you know, on camera and all that sort of stuff. Like the ultimate good girl. So we're going to turn her heel. That's what the story was. But people are throwing it right back in their face. And she goes out there with Charlotte and both of them. Charlotte was at her best, too. But Becky Lynch, it's like, man, talk about arriving and then, you know, kind of pushing it even more over the top. She did that. Everything, any pushback that she ever gets about, she can't cut a convincing promo. That's now been blown up.
Are you kidding? She's the most authentic, real promo or right there with anybody that they have. The stuff that she comes up with just off the cuff and now embracing this whole thing about how she's the man and what she's done with it on social media. She's got the shirt on, everything that she does. It's incredible where this has gone. I mean, the only thing, and I'm not worried about this, but obviously at Survivor Series, they're doing all these Raw versus SmackDown matches, and they're going to do Becky Lynch against Ronda Rousey. I think Becky is going to be cheered wildly over Ronda, but I think Ronda's going to win that match.
Brian, I talked about this on Observe Alive. You know, Ronda in L.A. is going to be, she's probably going to get it, but Becky lives in L.A. too. But that seems to be, if there's going to be anywhere where you can pull this off, that's going to be your best bet. We'll have to see, but I think
it's
you're right.
It's cool,
I
mean, to root for Becky Lynch right now.
It is. And again, how much Ronda's got a real appeal though with like the average WWE fan base, you know, especially the ones that, I'm not saying that, you know, can be manipulated as it's a bad thing, but you know, they go with what they want them to go with. They might actually boo Becky a little bit, and this may be the worst response that she gets, but it's certainly not going to be a bad response. And I wonder how they're going to go ahead and get out of this too. I would assume it's going to be Becky Lynch. You know, it's going to be a battle of the arm bars, which Becky, I would assume, is going to lose. But where they go from there is going to be really interesting, and how they play Becky and Charlotte. And is this how they have Charlotte take advantage of Becky and take the title? And then that goes, and you know, whenever it's going to be, whether probably a TLC is what they did during the Evolution match. You go ahead and you do that there in December, and then we're off to the races with Ronda and Charlotte at WrestleMania. But the thing is, too, about that match, Charlotte can be the heel, which is the other baffling part about, you know, them being so dead set on making Becky the bad girl in all this, right down to the point where saying now that there's a cult following that's cheering her, and them saying during Evolution, what kind of person walks away from Charlotte when her father's sick? Well, who the hell, when did Becky do that? When was Ric Flair sick in the last couple of months? It's just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I couldn't be happier for her, and it's been incredible. I want to see where it goes. I think we're at a point now, you know, it's too bad that they're doing Ronda and Becky now, because this is something that, and obviously they can still do it again, but I would love it if they would save this for WrestleMania, to do Ronda Rousey against Becky Lynch the first time, you know, and continue to build Becky to where she's at. But, you know, WWE does not live in that world. It's, what do you got for me now? We'll worry about that then. And I mean, there's been talk about maybe it would be Charlotte against Ronda Mania. I don't know if that's still the plan or if it was ever the plan or whatever, but let's keep it
100 here for a second. As much as I love Becky Lynch, as much as we could in our minds put that on top of WrestleMania and sell it to people,
I would not say it would headline WrestleMania. I'm just saying it would be the featured women's match at WrestleMania.
But I have a feeling that they're going to close WrestleMania with the women's title match. And I think for the first one, doing it with Charlotte Flair and with Ronda Rousey, as much as I would say I could make the case and sell anybody, if challenged, that Asuka and Ronda Rousey or Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey could be the main event and still main event WrestleMania, and it would be awesome. I think the reality of the situation is Charlotte and Ronda really is the way to go if this is going to be the match that closes WrestleMania, which every part of me, I have no verification on that, but every part of me believes is going to be the case.
Let me hit on one more thing before we get out of here. So, and this is non-WWE. So there's all the speculation about what is going to happen with the bunch of guys from New Japan and Ring of Honor when it comes to Kenny Omega, Cody, Young Bucks, Adam Page. And we don't really have a clear picture, but sooner or later we are going to have it. Cody has now said that he's not going to be at the Madison Square Garden show. He was on the Jericho Cruise and said, I swear I am not signing with WWE. His time with Ring of Honor looks like it's coming to an end. His contract is expiring coming up here, and I don't think he's going to continue there. Now, he wants to work for New Japan, and I would assume that's going to continue. I don't know what he's going to do outside of that. He says he's going to try and do everything he can to do All In 2, but that's kind of up in the air. Adam Page, his contract with Ring of Honor is winding down. I believe he's turned down something with WWE already, and we'll see what's going to happen with him. It doesn't mean he couldn't re-sign with Ring of Honor, but obviously he's a New Japan guy as well.
Apparently he has turned down a NXT deal and did that, I guess, at least some time ago.
Yeah.
And has more recently officially turned down an ROH deal, which obviously leads to what the pack mentality is when we get to January.
Yeah, exactly. And see, I know there's this pack mentality with all of them. They said, you know, we're all a package deal. And maybe that is still the case. I still think that remains to be seen. But of course, the rumors gotten out there that Tony Khan, who is the son of the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NFL, he is the son of the owner, that there have been rumors that he wants to start up a wrestling promotion I know that got out there. I know Chris Jericho said, I'm not starting up a wrestling promotion because his name was tied to it. By the way, that was, God bless Chris, but that was quite the way of getting out of that one, because Chris isn't starting a wrestling promotion. His name has been tied to being a part of it, and he did not deny that. But we're not even at that point right now from a standpoint of, is this going to happen or not? There's been plenty of speculation about this when it comes to, that's where all these guys could end up and not go to WWE, or at least everybody but Omega, and who knows about that. But like Cody and the Bucks, they could end up with this group. There's been some other names tied to it, including Chris Jericho. Jim Ross has been tied to it. I think Goldberg's name has been tied to it. All these different people. But we don't know if this guy's, how much money he really has. We know his dad's filthy rich. I don't know how much money he has. Maybe he is as well. He's a big wrestling fan, and a lot of people follow him on Twitter when it comes to wrestlers. But we don't even know, like, what the promotion would be. Do they have TV, or what are their plans for other platforms to have shows or broadcasts, or how exactly would all this work? The thinking is that, like, Cody and especially the Bucks would have a lot of creative freedom, but there's a lot of steps to go, at least publicly. Maybe I'm sure they know a lot more than the rest of us do. It's very much up in the air, and it just throws a little monkey wrench, I guess, into what is going to happen with the future with all these guys coming up here in the next few months.
I think it was a planted story, and I'm not saying that there's not any validity to it.
I heard about that thing about a month or two ago, but it was just so much of a rumor. I was just like, I'm not going to say that about it, you know?
No, and that's where it was like, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I think there is, I'm sure, like, people talk about doing lots of things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And there's a lot of wrestlers that follow Tony Khan on Twitter. Because I went and checked that out, and I was just like, oh, okay, well, we'll see if there's something to this.
Yeah, and that's in anything, much less in the entertainment field, much less in wrestling. So, you know, we've heard a lot of stories over the years, especially if you're of a certain age, of people going to start promotions and this and that and the third and all. But, like, the reality is, and if you stop and everybody calms down, because there's a lot that's going on right now in New Japan. There are shifts taking place in the office, on screen with announcers, with decisions Harold May is making.
With the Bullet Club?
They're cracking down on gift files. They are taking back the Bullet Club, and you have the guys that are saying, we've made our last Bullet Club gear, and we're doing this. And we're
Why are they cracking down on gift files? Why are they so paranoid about that? That is one of the dumbest things. I'm not saying that you should have people giving away finishes and stuff like that, but guess what? You're cracking down on the people that do gifts, and they credit you even on that. And I would think that helps get more attention, and they're worried about giving away finishes. And I understand it's one thing to, like, see it or whatever, but guess what? People are talking about what the finishes are anyway on Twitter.
But it's so old and stupid because, like, the networks still do this too. And there's a rights issue, and I get it, that takes place. But the reality is, in 2018 on Twitter, somebody's going to do it. And, like, if the gift thing, I could understand it if these guys were also the ones periscoping matches or something like that.
Right.
Like, you can sort of follow the same way that you could follow a play-by-play of a football game on ESPN.com and somebody typing it up there and following along with a wrestling match online. But, like, even though you're getting a little bit of the visual when it comes to the GIF file, you can't follow a wrestling match or anything else that's fluid and is motion for 20 minutes, a half hour, 15 minutes, whatever it is. You can't follow it in a GIF file. So people are still going to want to spend money on the event and still see it. It's why people spend, you know, if you have a product people want to see, they're going to pay for it.
Right.
And if you have somebody that interests them, they're going to pay for it. I've been hearing that boxing has been dead for years, and every year you get a fight that does bigger. And does it make any sense? No. Is it good for boxing? Maybe not. Who cares? But there's always an event that's going to happen that's going to draw. And if you give people what they want, they're going to pay for it. And New Japan's been giving people what they want for the most part. So for them to beat these people in the heads, people that are paying $9.99, that just want to celebrate this stuff, that have gotten the word out there for you, to do this to them is just completely ridiculous. I can understand it if there was malice in a lot of these people's hearts and they're putting up finishes and they're really doing damage to you, but they're not. So it's a completely ridiculous thing. The same way all of this talk about this Khan deal is ridiculous to me right now, too. the way that everything stands, ROH needs New Japan. New Japan needs ROH, period. And those wrestlers, with the exception of Adam Page, I'm not saying that they all need that group because they can go to WWE if they want. But I will say this, to maximize their lives, in my opinion, everybody stays exactly where they're at. And I don't want to see.
I agree. And I think they need that. It's just there's a lot of questions about, will the Bucks be with both of those companies? Could they still be with both of those companies?
The Bucks
same with
need
Cody.
A break from New Japan. Telling you right now, the Bucks need a break from everything, to be honest, in my opinion.
I think the Bucks are going to be I think they're going to be gone from New Japan.
I think, and they should be. And I think they should take somewhat of a break from ROH because I think ROH needs, when the Bucks and the Briscoes aren't popping crowds like they used to, and the SCU and the Briscoes aren't popping crowds, and you got vets like that, it's like, okay, you got to shake it up. And they need all the help they can get trying to rebuild things. And yes, you can still use the Bucks there, but when it comes to New Japan, I'm ready for them to hit the bricks because there are other people and other teams that need to be involved. Cody the same way. I don't need to see Cody in New Japan. It's nice if he shows up every once in a while, but I don't need to see him there. Now, Kenny Omega in New Japan, there's no other option to me. I mean, Kenny Omega can go to WWE, and I'm sure he can achieve some level of success there. But Kenny Omega, what could be on the table for him in Japan as far as his legacy, as far as getting up there in destroyer status? I mean, I guess if he's not already to some people, I mean, he'd be in that rarefied air. I really believe that. I mean, he is going to be Mr. New Japan. I think they'll be erecting statues of him next to Hiroshi Tanahashi. I really believe that. What Finn Balor started, Kenny Omega can continue to do there because he speaks the language and because people love him like that. He won't get that love anywhere else. He won't get that opportunity anywhere else. I think he needs to stay there.
But didn't it feel like even just a couple of weeks ago, like, and I don't know this for a fact, but maybe some of those guys are being lowballed or they don't like the deals that are being offered to them. And then now there's talk like, oh, well, New Japan's willing to spend a ton of money to, if they can get their hands on, you know, this person or that person. And maybe those little issues that they were having or things that were kind of popping up with some of the guys, maybe that's all kind of in the rearview mirror and been worked out.
Well, when it comes to what some of the issues with money and things like
with
that?
With money or even some of the other things that people were grousing about.
Well, that's the one thing about the con. I mean, the timing of it, it's like we're barreling towards that season and we've got all of this stuff going on anyway. And then all of a sudden it's like this rumor, which is one of many rumors that we've heard come out of Florida over many people's mouths for years about, you know,
don't blame Florida. Come on.
About some money. Hey, you were involved in all of it. You're in that mix. You're in a mix in that wrestler, that crazy wrestler state, as well as a crazy everything state. But like, you know, like for that rumor to get out when it did, it's just like everything just fell together too nicely there where to me, you know, what do they say on the Joe Budden podcast, Maul, creative marketing is a good way, I think, to put it, where the timing of things is just, it's just too convenient for me. And yeah. I'm sure they want to maximize everything because, to be honest, I'm sure they want to maximize everything they can get out of New Japan and ROH because I'm not saying that nobody wants to go to WWE, but I bet you they'd like to maximize what they could do without WWE because
I'm sure
they
were.
There's going to be an all in two and there may even be an all in three. And, you know, that money can really go in their pockets and they need ROH for that. They need Gary Jester. New Japan needs ROH. Obviously, they needed them to come into Madison Square Garden. We've got that coming up on WrestleMania weekend. Who knows what's going to happen there and what comes after that. So, you know, it's a time where a lot of people are tense, but it's also a time that when everything shakes out and the turn of the year happens and we have New Year's Dash and we've got a better idea of where people are going as we barrel towards Royal Rumble, you know, I think everything will shake out and insanity will appear and everything will go exactly the way it should.
I still think there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air, but we'll get a clearer picture sooner rather than later. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I know this or I know that because I obviously don't. And I don't think anybody does. I don't even know if the guys involved really do because who knows what kind of money's being thrown around. And we know WWE is extremely aggressive in going after guys.
Well, so, and hey, look, things change fast in this era.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, man, you know what? A number changes on an offer, and the next thing you know, it's just like, you know, I wasn't really going to think about that, too. You know what? Maybe it would be stupid of me not to take it, you know? So, and with the way that the wrestling landscape has changed, things can obviously change very quickly along with it. Some things that you never thought would happen in the past, then people might be like, hey, you know what? I'll let you do that. Or I'll let you do this. Or, you know, who knows what it's going to be. But,
and you know what? The air, it's still going to be changing too, because once the lion lays down, you know, and I'm not, don't want that to happen or whatever, but like at some point, Vince is going to be out of that company like fully, and you're going to have the Stephanie Paul era with their producers and their ideas and how they view things. And there are certain people they like that Vince never would have liked, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, what's going on, you know, again, a lot of people that listen to this show probably have no idea or don't care about the undercurrent of like what's happening with Evolve basically being, I think somebody Voices Wrestling said AA baseball right now for WWE if NXT's AAA. That's exactly the case. And what could happen there? I mean, there are so many fluid parts right now to this whole thing, especially as the, in the next couple of years, it's still going to be, it is still a fascinating time in this business.
Mike, I always appreciate the time. Everybody can listen to more of you, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Radio Network, and on Sirius XM, weekday afternoons from 3 to 4, and on Sundays from 6 to 8 Eastern. Appreciate it, man, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Time for some Q&A. You can leave your questions on our Facebook page, facebook.com/betweentheropes. I put the post up there. You can leave your questions. Sometimes I do email, Twitter, but this week I was being lazy again. Back to Facebook. And that's something I'm hoping to use our subpage or our subreddit page on Reddit a little bit more for going forward. Let's get to the questions. I'll start with you, Francis. Francis Reyes asks a bunch of questions I'm probably not going to answer. Stop asking about Total Divas, man. I don't watch it. What are you looking forward to seeing when Raw and SmackDown are shown next week in the UK? I think, and I may be dead wrong about this, but I think both Raw and SmackDown are from Manchester. I could see something where, because Survivor Series is Raw versus SmackDown matches, where maybe during Raw, SmackDown like invades, and then Raw does the same thing the following night. I mean, if they're both in the same place, I mean, where both brands are going to be, then I could see that. And then the following week, they could say, like, you know, the each brand's GM could say, well, let's play nice this week after what happened last week, and things got out of control. So we promised that guys and the women will not, you know, attack each other on the, you know, the other brand, and we'll settle it all on Sunday at Survivor Series. I can see something like that happen. Now, will we see Brock Lesnar have a match? Maybe could he drop the Universal Championship already? Possibly. I mean, I think he's going to be on Raw, but I don't know if he's going to have a match. I mean, part of his deal is he doesn't have matches on TV, so I don't know if that's going to change or not. And we will find out, I guess, on Raw and SmackDown this week. Any thoughts of Jeff Jarrett having to get his head shaved bald? Hey, it was eventually going to happen. Jeff has been teasing that down in Mexico with AAA for a long time, and it finally happened. He finally got his head shaved. And I'm glad he finally did it, I guess, for I mean, it looks strange because Jeff is always, you know, Jeff used to have really long hair when he was younger, obviously, and, you know, he had shorter hair, but still a full head of hair. And then he gets his head shaved. So, I mean, it definitely looks different, to say the least, right now. What are you hoping for Impact to get to the next level in 2019? Hey, they're in a lot of trouble. I mean, we've heard that time and time again. That time slot getting moved to 10 p.m. Eastern, that is a killer. I mean, they were already doing just sub 200,000 viewers for that show. They got moved. Now they did under 100,000. A lot of it's due to that time slot. Plus, they're going up against Thursday Night Football from the NFL. That's troubling. And I don't know why exactly they got moved. Maybe that's Pop TV saying, hey, you know, we're about to cancel your show. That's what happens before shows get canceled. You get moved into bad time slots. And that's something that could happen. And if it does happen, I don't know who else is going to pick them up for TV. I really don't. I don't know if there is really a thirst for other wrestling shows that are out there. And if there is, would they be interested in Impact Wrestling? Would that be a hot enough brand that another network would be interested in paying them or working out some kind of a deal that would make it worthwhile for them? So that's something I think we've got to keep a close eye on. Toby Fish asks, hey, Brian, in all of your years of wrestling fandom, do you feel that we're on a low right now with the WWE product? I'm 32 and can't remember a time where missing a show wasn't a problem for me. In the past few months, I'm finding out about the shows for podcasts more than actually watching them. You know, Toby, I'm with you to some extent because it doesn't feel, well, it feels like so many matches are repeated so many different times. And with the 50-50 booking, it's hard for something to really stand out in WWE outside of their bigger pay-per-views. So I'm with you. I mean, they've minimized some of the booking with the 50-50. You know, they just have to fill segments when it comes to Raw and SmackDown right now. And it's tough for things to feel special. You know, that's why even when a Brock Lesnar comes back, as much as some people might growl about him, that it feels special because he's not there all the time. Or when we do get a big title change or we get a big match. And that's one of the things that frustrates me a lot is that, you know, these first time matches, when we talk about these specialty, quote unquote, dream matches, and they're just giving away on TV. I think a lot more could be done, you know, when it comes to some of these angles and storylines. Take, for example, Daniel Bryan and The Miz. It's been fine, but it hasn't reached anywhere near level of what I thought they could do. And I don't think they've capitalized on some of the stories that they have and really make them feel big and special and emotional and get you attached. And that's something they need to get back to. So, yeah, I do feel like it is a lull right now. I mean, WWE is doing perfectly fine. They're going to be making money by the ton next year once these new TV deals kick in. But their viewership is down for Raw and SmackDown. The house show attendance is down. And that's something they obviously have to work on. I mean, Raw and SmackDown ratings are always going to be tough in today's day and age. But they don't want to dip to that number where they're consistently, you know, well below 3 million viewers for each show. Or even below 2.5 million viewers on each show on a regular basis. That would be bad. I mean, that's not looking good. I mean, they have got this insulation where it comes to these upcoming TV deals, but I think there's more and more people that are saying, like, hey, this isn't grabbing my attention all the time. I'll pick and choose my moments for this. And there's other things that I can watch. And there is a huge demand for getting people to watch shows, whether it's other things that are on live television, with sporting events, dramas, and you've got Hulu, you've got Netflix, you've got so many different platforms that are out there that are pulling at people in various different directions. And I don't think WWE has done a good enough job of really keeping people attached to their product and emotionally invested on a regular basis outside of the diehards that are going to be there no matter what. Preston Hill asks, did Dean Ambrose mic malfunction Monday night or did the exchange go as scripted? That is when Dean Ambrose showed up in the crowd. Seth was challenging to come down there and explain himself and Dean never said anything and just walked away. I think that's the way it was planned. I think that they wanted to tease that Dean was going to say something, but he didn't say anything. And I think they wanted to leave that open and they will do the explanation, whether it be this coming week or some other time in the future. But I think that that was planned. Eric Phillips asks, what happened to Sanity? At first, I wish Nikki Cross came up with them, but now I see it as a blessing. I actually think Nikki has gotten over more without them. I wanted to see Nikki with that group as well. And I thought that would have been fantastic. And Nikki has done great without them, you know, in NXT, but they just have not capitalized on Sanity at all since they got brought up to the main roster. I thought they got brought up a little bit quick, but they've just got totally lost in the shuffle. And a lot of that is just because there isn't an emphasis on tag team wrestling when it comes to the main roster. And, you know, we haven't seen much of Sanity. With Hogan being announced, oh, by the way, this is Stephen Minahane. With Hogan being announced as the host of Crown Jewel, do you think Vince has basically just went, screw it, we're being criticized anyway, and went all in hoping the wider criticism of WWE going to Saudi would mask the return of Hogan to a WWE ring? I think this is a situation where the people in Saudi Arabia that are paying for these shows wanted to see Hulk Hogan. They're very invested in seeing stars from the 80s and 90s. And they wanted to see Hogan, and WWE said, we can deliver Hogan. And you saw the role that he had. I mean, he was on the show for less than 5 minutes. There was a short scripted promo. He delivered it. The crowd popped. Pyro went off, and he was out of there. So I think that's what it was. As for Hogan going forward, I don't know if this marks a return to him where he's going to be doing something on Raw or SmackDown. I still think we're a little ways off from that. I might be dead wrong. I think that he would be used more as like a brand ambassador or a company ambassador and would not be included on TV or anything on the air for WWE for a while. But I guess it's just on the company right now. And if they feel like there is a demand for Hogan, if they feel like their business partners are comfortable with Hulk Hogan being a part of the show and they're not worried about an overreaching backlash if they were putting, if they're going to put him on TV. Bill Dixon asks, with Nick Aldis moving on from Cody, where do you think, or where do you see the NWA go from here? Do you think interest in the NWA will continue to rise, or will fans start to lose interest? I know the NWA wants to do more stuff. You know, Nick Aldis is now the champion again. It sounds like Marty Scurll could be his next opponent, or Jack Hager, formerly Jack Swagger. So that's the direction they're going in right now. I don't think they're going to have as much interest when they had Cody in there, but the key for them is just getting people to stay interested. Like, they've already brought some people in, and obviously we're going to grow that, but they at least want to retain those people, and that's going to be the difficulty that they have. But they've done a good job in freshening themselves up to some extent, but I would like to see them do more with that. And instead of continuing to look in the past, and while their past is fantastic, and obviously you want to honor that, I would say the biggest thing for me in the NWA is looking forward and how they want to shape themselves as a brand and what's going to make them stand out in the future. Brad Mendenhall asks, I was stunned when Daniel Bryan tapped out on SmackDown. Do you remember other times when a wrestler tapping out was a big surprise? I'd have to think about that, but you know, I wasn't really that surprised when Daniel tapped out. I mean, Mike and I talked about it, that it made sense storyline wise. I didn't make that much of it. And I think we all knew Daniel wasn't going to win that match. I mean, they could have done something where Samoa Joe ran in there and caused a DQ. That would have easily been done. Or they could have just pinned Daniel Bryan. But whether it was clean or whether it was going to be something that Samoa Joe did, it was a clean win. AJ made Daniel Bryan tap out. With the story they were telling in that match, I really wasn't that surprised. And I don't think it's something that I would look into too much. I know Preston Hill added to that, like saying his quote reward for refusing to go to Saudi. I didn't look at it as a punishment. And then Mike agreed. Mike said the same thing. We already talked about that a little bit here on the podcast. Couple other questions. If WWE, this is from Joshua Bellamini. If the WWE could main event a SmackDown show with a Raw match, would they? It's a joke that SmackDown can't get the main event for any show. No, they're not going to do that. But I get where you're coming from, because it can be frustrating that when you watch these pay-per-views, that sometimes the bigger match is on SmackDown and they don't go with it. So Alan F. Sharif asks a couple questions. Do you think that John Cena and Daniel Bryan will face retribution from management? No, they're not going to. Can you see Kenny Omega signing with WWE once his contract with New Japan is up, or do you think he will stay on the independent circuit? I think he's going to stay in New Japan as it stands right now. I think he'll sign a new deal with them, but who knows? He doesn't work that many indie shows right now. I think that he loves working in New Japan, and if he can work on a new deal that he feels is fair in a variety of ways, monetarily, creatively, everything, that I think that's where he wants to stay. That being said, I don't think it's outrageous to see him end up in WWE. There's been rumors that WWE is willing to spend a lot of money to get Kenny Omega to go there, but I don't know if that's where he wants to be or what his mindset is right now. And his contract comes to an end at the end of January when it comes to New Japan. And we're kind of in that wait and see game right now. I don't know if we're going to know anything in advance of that. Maybe earlier in January, they'll be announcing that he's already signing a new deal if he ends up staying there. But right now, we just have to wait and see what exactly he's going to decide to do. If Daniel Cormier loses his upcoming title defense at UFC 230 to Derek Lewis, will Brock Lesnar challenge Lewis for the UFC World Heavyweight title, or will he fight Cormier in a non-title bout? I would think that he would fight Lewis, quite honestly. I think that if Brock Lesnar's coming back there, he's going to fight for the championship. I know there's going to be some people that get riled up about that. But that would be the one. Or actually, the fight that I would see then would be John Bones Jones. You know, but I know that Jones is fighting Gustafson coming up here at the end of December. But maybe that's what they would want to do with Lesnar. Maybe I'm dead wrong. I mean, I honestly really feel that the UFC feels a comfort level that Cormier is going to win this fight against Derek Lewis. Cormier's got a banged up hand, but they need a main event for this show at Madison Square Garden. So they offered both those guys a lot of money. Lewis is coming off of a fight, you know, so both of them are kind of on short notice for this. I think they believe Cormier is going to win. If he doesn't win, Jones would have made a lot of sense, but now Jones is tied up with Gustafson. So yeah, I would say they probably do Derek Lewis against Brock Lesnar. I think that's where they would go. Last question. Philip Walchester asks, is Becky Ronda a last ditch attempt to get the face heel narrative WWE are so keen for, or is it a double turn? Must be ending in a schmoz, surely. No, I don't think so. I think this is all just Survivor Series, is that one time of the year where the superstars of Raw square off against the superstars of SmackDown. And I'm sure we're going to be hearing that ridiculous tagline over and over and over again, like we did last year in the way that I mocked it last year. So both of them are the champions on their respective brands right now. I think that's why they're doing it. I don't think it's because of a face heel narrative when it comes to ending in a schmoz. I don't think so. I mean, I could see Charlotte interfering in that match and costing Becky the match and helping Ronda win. I could see Ronda winning that match clean. I really could. I think that's where WWE is right now. So I would not be surprised in that whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, quite honestly, I'd love it if they weren't doing that match right now. But you know what? This is what they do. They're doing the champion versus champion matches at Survivor Series. Becky's the champion right now. Ronda's the champion right now. So they're going to square off against one another, and about to see what they do when it comes to Survivor Series coming up here in a few weeks. That will do it for the podcast. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Please do that. And I know we're on Spreaker right now, so please let me know if there are any issues. But wherever you're getting your podcast at right now, you should still be able to get the Between the Ropes podcast, whether it's on iTunes, whether it is on Spreaker now, whether it's on all the other various platforms, Stitcher, where you can get your podcasts. And we're going to be on Spotify and iHeartRadio soon as well. So wherever you get your podcasts, please make sure you subscribe to the Between the Ribs podcast. Please help spread the word. Also, go check out our subreddit page. Just go to Reddit. You'll find the link for Between the Ropes. Take part in the conversation. Be nice, everybody, but feel free to take part in the conversation. That's what that is there for. And also be on the lookout for some upcoming merchandise on our TeePublic page. That's going to be coming here within the next week or two. And I'll be posting that on the Reddit page and on social media and everything. So be on the lookout for that. And thanks again to everybody that is supporting Between the Ropes on Patreon. Quick reminder about that. $3 a month. That's all it is. $3 a month. Support us on Patreon. Sign up there. You get this podcast ad free. You don't have to listen to the ads. You don't have to skip through the ads, any of that. So please support us on Patreon for at least $3 a month. And I'll see what I can do for some other goodies for everybody that's on supporting us on Patreon. And to everybody that's already doing it, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. So, and also follow Between the Ropes on social media as well. You can go on facebook.com/Between the Ropes. You can go to Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. You can follow me personally on there. It's at Brian Fritz. So that will do it for the podcast. Talk to everybody next week. Catch you then.